You're about to hear the only advertising program on BBC. After years of research and experiment, we bring you a radio show which is untouched by human hand. It's been kicked into shape. But, nevertheless...
It's something to shout about, it's something to shout about, it's something to shout about and cry out loud.
It's new.
It's heartwarming.
It's non-habit forming.
We can really guarantee it's something, something to shout about.
And now, here are a few unsolicited testimonials from listeners with out-of-date licenses.
Girls, do men make you tired? They did me. Well, stop chasing them and listen to something to shout about.
Last week, my wife and I heard your program for the first time, and it has given us a new interest in life. Television.
Last time something to shout about was on the air, I had a fabulous time laughing and wondering how it would all end. Then my boyfriend switched on the radio.
Yes, it's something to shout about. Michael Medwin with Eleanor Summerfield, Fenella Fielding and Joan Sims and a cast of several bring you a first-hand glimpse of life in one of Britain's busiest advertising firms, Apsley, Addis, Cohn, Barbican, Blythe and Gideon Partners. The time is nearly midday. The morning's work is just beginning. And in the office of Adrian Beals, one of Britain's leading copywriters, matters of great urgency are being discussed.
Oh, that's jolly good. That's very funny. A pity I can't tell the wife. I don't know where you get them from.
My landlady, she gets them from the laundrette. Well, now I must go off back to the office.
Just a minute. I say, Michael, have you heard the buzz?
No, what?
We're all going to get a share of the profits, each and every one of us in the firm.
But that's fabulous. Who told you?
An unimpeachable source, old boy.
Now, who?
Mrs. Allardyce in the canteen. She knows a thing or two, does Mrs. Allardyce.
Yeah, except about cooking. But are you sure it's true?
Yes. She was passing the boardroom when the directors were meeting, and she accidentally overheard it when she was bending down with her ear to the keyhole.
Well, I could certainly use the extra lolly. Last weekend, I was rather badly let down.
Oh, by a girl?
No, a horse. Wasn't until I saw it in action that I realized it had been lying about its age.
Well, anyway, this share-out is top secret, so keep it under your hat, old boy. I promised Mrs. Allardyce I wouldn't tell a soul.
Oh, Adrian, you know me. I won't mention it to anyone. Janet?
Yes, Michael?
Can you keep a secret?
Keep a secret? Well, of course. Sometimes I've kept one for nearly 2 days.
Now, be serious. Can you keep a secret?
Well, darling, I'd be pretty useless as your secretary if I couldn't. What is it?
Well, we're all going to get a cut of the profits.
How gorgeous.
But it's strictly confidential, so for heaven's sake, don't tell anyone.
Oh, darling, you know me.
Yes, too well.
Well, I won't mention it to anyone. Oh, Michael, can you spare me for a few minutes?
Yes, I've only got that breakfast food account.
Oh, good. I'll just pop along to the ladies' restroom. I made up in rather a hurry this morning. My eyelashes don't feel very secure.
Yes, they do seem to be on the blink.
He's just a talking, walking, walking, living dog.
Is he maybe?
Oh, you did give me a start. I was playing my favourite game.
Game?
Yes, I let the hot water run, and then when the mirror is all steamed up, I trace out Cliff Richard with me finger. You don't think it's silly?
No, I suppose one must have an outlet.
Oh, well, of course, otherwise where would the hot water go? Do you want to play?
No, I don't. I came in here to tell you something. Mavis, I've got a secret.
A secret what?
Now, listen. A certain person, who shall be nameless, told me that we're all going to get a bonus.
Oh, how smashing. Free?
Absolutely. But don't mention it to the girls in the typing pool.
Oh, don't worry, dear. Like my mum always says, when it comes to secrets, there's none so blind as them who can't hear. Now, I must go. Girls, I've got a smashing bit of news.
Oh, what is it?
Happened?
Do tell us.
Well, now, don't tell anyone I told you. This is just between me and you 12. But just now, I was in... Oh, that intercom never stops. Typing pool here. Can I help you?
This is Maggie Tuffnell of TV Commercials. Are any of you typists vacant?
Yes, I'm vacant.
That must must be Mavis speaking.
Well, however did you guess?
I'm psychic.
Oh, you poor soul. Would you like an aspirin or something?
Mavis, come up to the conference room right away. We want you to take notes on the breakfast food conference.
Righty-ho, Miss Tufnell.
Come on, Mavis, tell us.
Yes.
What's this wonderful news?
Well, you see, it's a secret. And Janet, whom shall be nameless, has just divulged that the firm's giving us a bonus. One each, all of our own, and everybody's going to get one.
We're all going to get what?
A bonus. But no one's supposed to know. So if anyone tells you, pretend it's a secret, otherwise the people who know it will find out and ask someone who might tell them.
Well, heaven help anyone who asks you. Maybe switch this thing off and come up to the breakfast food conference.
Oh, righty-ho. Honestly, well, I'm not going to tell her for a start.
I say, Adrian, before Michael and the client arrive and we start the confab, have you heard the news?
What news, old girl?
The firm's giving us a bonus.
What? Another one? I must say that's very generous.
Morning, all. I would have been earlier, but somebody nameless was telling me about a lovely surprise we're all going to get, but don't ask me what. I've been sworn to absolute privacy. It's all very consequential and I don't know anything about it.
But physically, you're quite well?
Yes.
John.
And so will you be when you find out what it is. I can feel it in my bonus. I mean bones.
Well, I'm glad you had a good journey, Mr. Wendt. I'm sure we'll have a most fruitful conference.
Shh. Here's Michael with the client.
Well, well, well. All the brains are here. I don't believe you've met Mr. Wendt. He's from the BBC.
Well, he's in the wrong building.
No, no, no. The British Breakfast Cereals. Mr. Wendt is their advertising manager. Now, sir, I'd like you to meet Miss Maggie Tufnell. She's in charge of our TV commercials.
How do you do?
And Adrian Beals. He's our chief copywriter.
How do you do?
They're the brains of the firm. On the other hand, there's Miss Mavis Willis. She'll be taking notes.
How do you do?
Oh, delightful, I'm sure. Excuse fingers.
Now, Mr. Wendt, perhaps you'd like to tell us about your new product.
Okie doke, fair dues. Let's go, shall we? Well, now, 1953, British Breakfast Cereals introduced Popsy Cornflakes.
Oh, yes, I remember. When you poured milk on them, they went snap, crunch, bang.
Exactly. And if the milk was too hot, they went, ooh.
Most amusing.
Thank you. Then, in 1955, we brought out Softy Slosh Flakes.
Oh, yes. When you poured milk on them, they just used to lie there and go very quietly.
Precisely, you've got the idea. Specially made for people with nervous dispositions. However, to continue, in 57, as a further contribution to culture, we inserted the free plastic toy, little soldiers, etc.
Oh, were they plastic? Well, no wonder my gran said they took a lot of chewing. She said they was worse than Wilkes.
Mavis!
Sorry.
Well, never mind, you've given me an idea. Mr. Wendt, how about bringing out a new breakfast food with the cornflakes made of plastic and a free gift you could eat? I'm sure it would go down very well.
Mr. Lightfoot, please. Oh, levity. I'm just running over the salient points in our thinking. Now, in 1959, we brought out Ricochet Flakes. Not only did they go snap, crunch, bang, but we enclosed a small cannon so you could fire back.
Very fine, very good.
Do you mind? But we in British Breakfast Foods never relent in our war to uplift the masses, so this year we proudly announce Sunny Spells.
Sunny Spells?
Yes, it's a breakfast food made in little shapes. Each one is a letter of the alphabet. Not only can you eat it, but it's educational.
Letters of the alphabet, eh? That's a good idea. I only hope that when they float on the milk, they don't spell out a rude word.
Now, about the advertising campaign, Mr. Wendt, what angle do you want?
Oh, educational, of course. You can't start too young, you know, especially with children.
Mr. Wendt, Apsley, Addis, Kern, Barbican, Blythe and Gideon Partners are an advertising firm, not a primary school for backward cereal eaters.
Well, I fail to see the snags.
Well, if you think advertising and education are the same thing, I can only suggest you buy a television set.
Maggie, please, don't bite the hand that feeds me.
And when we've exhausted the educational aspect, I'm sure there'll be plenty of other angles.
Oh, yes, we'll advertise it as the silent cereal, which spells out snap, crunch, bang.
Yeah. It'll be ideal for people who like to have their breakfast in complete silence.
Don't you worry, Mr. Wett. I'm sure our little team will come across with something quite brilliant.
Good. Well, I shall expect a full publicity campaign plus sample TV films by the day after tomorrow. If approved, I'll flash the green light. OK, fair dues, must go.
I'll see you to the lift.
Oh, no, not to bother. Cheery bye.
Now, come on, let's get down to work.
Before we start, I must tell you a very amusing thing my little girl said this morning.
Good old Catherine, here we go.
Well, at breakfast time, I said, how about kissing Daddy good morning? And she said, haven't got any kisses or cuddles today, only licks. Well, I was puzzled for a minute, and then I remembered it was Tuesday.
Eh?
Well, on Tuesday, she's a puppy dog, and she takes it very seriously.
I suppose when she plays at being a dicky bird, you find her in the garden eating worms, huh?
Oh, yes, often. And she's only 4 and a half. Oh.
All right, Adrian. Now, if you don't do some work, that family of yours will starve.
Excuse my bursting in like this, but I really just can't contain myself another minute.
I knew you'd have trouble with that dress. Perhaps if you put in a gusset.
Maggie, have you heard the latest about our bonus?
Shh, Janet. What bonus?
A bonus? What a ridiculous thought.
I've not heard anything about a bonus.
So have I. Nobody told me, especially Janet.
Oh, stop pretending. Everybody's talking about it. And do you know what? The male members of the staff are going to get 10% bonus, while the girls only get 5%.
Oh, good.
Mavis, 5% is half of 10%.
Is it? Oh, well, I'm no good at mental arithmetic.
You're no good at mental anything.
In all my years with the firm, I've never known anything so unfair. On behalf of the women in this firm, I protest.
Hear, hear, so say all of us.
For he's a jolly good fellow. Oh, I'm sorry, I thought I was back at my gran's wedding.
Come on, girls, we must decide on a course of action.
Here, but what about sunny spells?
Too late, get out your sou'wester, there's a storm brewing.
Janet, where's the file on that breakfast cereal job?
It's no use asking me. I'm just a poor, simple creature with 5% of a mind.
Oh, really? You're not still in a state about that bonus.
We're holding a mass meeting this afternoon.
Well, and I suppose it's the principle of the thing, eh? And not the money.
Well, of course. You don't think I let a paltry thing like money influence me, do you?
Yes.
Well, I don't care about money. Oh, after all, what is money? It's got no lasting value.
Not unless you're sentimental.
I'll never forgive you for not supporting us.
Oh, now, darling, don't be so silly. How could I?
Only this morning, I thought, poor fool that I was. I thought there was something very rare, very precious, very beautiful in this office between us.
If you're talking about my niblick, I want you to know that I'm eternally grateful for the way you helped my golf practice.
I'm talking about mutual respect, togetherness. It's a very many splendid thing, you know.
I thought that was something quite different. Well, now, Janet, come here, darling.
No, I'm not going. Okay. No. From now on, I shall be your secretary in name only. No more stolen embraces behind the filing cabinet, I can tell you.
Oh, but Janet.
And there'll be no more playing blind man's buff in the lift.
Oh, Janet.
And there'll be no more of our intimate little parties with just the two of us dancing and drinking and drinking and dancing.
All right, but what about after office hours?
That as well. There'll be no more little meetings in that phone box on my corner.
What? No phone box?
No. And I'm not sorry about it either. Got rather tired of huffing on all the little windows.
All right, Janet. If this is the end, then it's got to be.
But wherever I go, whichever girl I am with, I will always be wishing it were you. Goodbye, Amanda.
Michael, I mean, don't be silly. There's no need to be so drastic. I'm sure if I sit on your knee, you'll see the whole thing in a completely different perspective.
Why, you traitress.
We were just saying goodbye.
Oh, really? Is that the best you can do?
Well, we'd only just started.
Janet, I came to tell you we're having a meeting in the ladies' restroom in 5 minutes, if you're still on our side, of course.
Well, naturally, I was just telling Michael what he'd be missing, that's all.
Telling him you were showing him. I must say, one soon finds out the weakest link in the chain.
If Janet's the weakest link, what does that make Mavis?
The missing link. Don't be late, Janet. All the girls are coming. We're going to get some results. down
quiet.
And together we
now
fall.
Now, do be quiet. This is a protest meeting. You're not at work.
Shh, quiet.
Now, as I see it, the thing of it is this. We've been offered a smaller bonus just because we're women. We are agreed that we should act together and speak together with one voice until justice prevails.
Oh, yes, yes,
me too. If we all stand together, we won't have to take this lying down.
Exactly. Now, how are we going to get fair shares? Has anyone got any ideas?
Yes, I have.
Good. I now call upon Janet Harris as the Secretary's representative to put forward her resolution.
You go, Janet! Speak up.
Thank you, comrades. Well, what I think we ought to do, I think we ought to get to work on the men.
I'm not at all surprised. Coming from you, it's hardly a very original idea.
I don't mean it that way, Maggie, because it would put you at such a terrible disadvantage.
Thank you, darling. You're so thoughtful.
Not at all. I mean, we have to remember your age, don't we?
So nice of you, dear. But then you're not exactly a teenager.
No, I'm just coming up for my 21st birthday.
Coming up for the third time.
Look, what about our bonuses?
Yes, here.
Oh, help!
What is it now, Mavis?
Someone's turned the tap off.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Oh, yes, it does. I'm sitting in the wash end.
Now, girls, please. Now, listen. We must assert our rights. Make a gesture of some sort.
Well, perhaps my gran could help. She's quite a one for making gestures.
Yeah, I'll bet she is. But...
You know, you should... Do you know what? She was an ardent feminine in her day, you know. She was a suffragette.
You mean a suffragette?
Do I?
Yes. And Maggie ought to know. She was a founder member.
Well, anyway, my gran was fixed to the railings in Hyde Park for 2 days one Saturday night.
Chained, was she?
No, just fixed. You see, she was climbing out when the gates were shut. And she got her dress caught on the spikes. Do you know, it took 3 policemen on a white horse to liberate her.
It's very interesting, Mavis, but what do we do about this bonus?
I suggest we have a go slow strike.
What, you mean like the buses in the rush hour?
I think Hilda's idea is good. All in favour of going slow, let's have a show of hands.
Here.
I think it's a jolly good idea.
Janet, there's no need to put up 2 hands.
Yes, there is, darling. I'm drying my nails.
Right, motion carried. We start going slow immediately after lunch. All girls on the switchboard will give wrong numbers. All typists will make mistakes. All secretaries do their knitting. Let's hope somebody notices the difference.
But, Maggie, how long do we go slow?
Well, let's fix a limit. We go slow for just 1 hour. Then if the men don't give way, we'll come back here and stage a stay-in strike. Okay, girls, go to it. Oh, and Janet, don't let Michael get round you.
It's all right, darling. I'm going to put a little notice on my desk. Go slow, dangerous curve.
Janet, please get a move on. You've been typing for nearly an hour and the little bell hasn't dinged once.
I don't know why you're fussing. I only started an hour ago and I've nearly finished the date.
Darling, please get a spurt on. Mr. Wendt is coming this afternoon. Adrian and I must have the rough outline of the breakfast food campaign all typed out and ready.
Then why don't you support our demands? You're the leaders. The men will do what you say.
No, we refuse to be intimidated.
Quite right.
Oh, very well then. I'll try and finish the date before it's time to go home.
Oh, now, darling, please. Please, try not to go so slowly.
Well, you never complain when I'm kissing you goodnight.
Well, then, I have other things on my mind.
Now, Michael, Adrian, it's nearly 3 o'clock. Are you going to give in?
Not a chance. We're not going to bow down to mass hysteria.
What's that whistle?
I don't know. Perhaps the girls in the typing pool are playing netball again.
To stop work.
Oh, that's a laugh for a start.
We've seen the rest of the men. They're as stubborn as ever.
Any luck with this lot?
No, dead loss.
Right, darn tools.
One out, all out. Come on, Jan.
Goodbye, gentlemen. For the next hour, we shall be holding court in the ladies' restroom. And no admittance except by invitation.
Right, form up in single file. Forward, march. Left, right.
Oh, silly lot of half-wits.
I wouldn't mind, but not one of them's in step.
What are we going to do about this report? I don't suppose you can type.
I don't know. I never tried.
Well, now's the time to find out. We must get it typed out before Mr. Went arrives.
Well, let's see. Which finger do you use?
Janet often uses two at the same time. Wait a minute. It ought to be in capitals, you know. You've got to press something.
Not this? What do I do now?
Put the typewriter back on the desk.
I know. What's this thing here? The one marked tab.
Perhaps it's short for tablet. You know what a hypochondriac Janet is.
Wait a minute. It's just occurred to me. If this is the first page, we really ought to put one at the top.
This typewriter doesn't seem to have a one. Can you see a one?
No. That's very peculiar. But there is a 7/8. Perhaps I better put that. After all, it's very nearly one.
Mm. Or you could put 3/4 plus 1/4.
Let's try it. I say this is most odd. Every time I press this, I get 5 little exclamation marks on the paper.
Let's see. No wonder. One of Janet's false eyelashes is stuck to the key. Oh. Now, come on, old boy.
How soon before Mr. Went arrives?
About 5 minutes, and all we've got so far is Sunny spells apostrophe, 2 question marks, and an asterisk percent.
You know, just between ourselves, I'm beginning to doubt whether we'll do it in time.
Well, I've had enough. I'm going along to the ladies' restroom.
Oh, you poor boy, do you want to lie down?
No, I'm going to order one of those girls to come out and do the typing.
Well, you better be careful. They've probably barricaded the door and got their stiletto heels at the ready.
Then you better come along with me. Come on, girls, open up. I've come to demand my rights.
Well, you won't find them in here.
Now, look here. We must have a typist. Our client will be arriving at any minute. He wants that report.
Then slip him under the door with a typewriter and we'll see what we can do.
Stop this nonsense at once.
Are you ready, girls? All together now. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Michael's rotten. He's no gent. He won't give us our 10%. Hey!
Charming verse. Should make the top 10.
Come on out, will you? You're behaving like a lot of silly, hysterical children.
Yes, come out.
Why, Mr. Lightfoot, Mr. Beals. Hope I'm not interrupting anything.
No, Mr. Went. Very nice to see you. Mm. The door's stuck. I was just trying to get in.
The ladies' restroom?
Well, it's not a restroom. It's a rehearsal room.
Oh. What are they rehearsing in there?
Resting.
That's right, resting between bars. They're a vocal group in there. They do the singing for our TV commercial.
Look, you promised me a complete layout of the Sunny Spells advertising campaign.
Yeah, well, we're terribly sorry, Mr. Went, but there's been a slight delay, a little trouble with the typing and the processing.
Why, aren't any of your girls in?
Oh, they're in all right. Our trouble is to get them out.
Eh?
Well, there's a lot of ins and outs in this problem.
So it seems. Well, frankly, I'm very disappointed. I mean, I've a good mind to advise my company to place their advertising elsewhere.
Oh, no, please, give us till tomorrow morning, huh? We'll have it ready by then without fail.
Very well, then, tomorrow morning. And by the way, that vocal group I just heard, sack 'em. I think the Metropolitan Police Choir could do a better job. Goodbye.
Michael, we daren't lose that account. We'll have to concede to the women.
Yes, Adrian, I'm afraid you're right. All right, girls, we give in. You've won.
Yay!
Open up.
See? Wow. Told you we were indispensable.
Michael, darling, at last. It's been so long without you.
But, Janet, you've only been in there for half an hour.
It seemed like eternity. Maggie's aged dreadfully. Have I changed at all?
Unfortunately, no, dear, but we shan't give up hoping.
Oh, I am glad to get out of there. Do you know, sitting in that wash basin has played havoc with my permanent pleating.
Well, come on, there's no time to lose. Maggie, we'll form a deputation and go and see the managing director.
Mr. Barbican?
Yeah, come on, Adrian, you're in this too.
Righto, I'm right behind you.
You always know when you're getting near the director's offices.
How?
The carpet starts and the dirty lino stops.
Here we are, Mr. Barbican's office.
That's odd. Where's his secretary?
Where do you think? Still down in the ladies' restroom.
Where's Mr. Barbican?
You don't think an important man like that would sit in the outer office, do you? He might get stolen. I better knock, hadn't I?
You certainly had.
Come in. Hello. Hello, operator. I've been waiting for 3/4 hour. Oh, Miss Tufnell. You brought someone to mend this phone?
No, this is Mr. Lightfoot and Mr. Beals.
Who?
2 of your employees.
Oh, afternoon, gentlemen.
Afternoon, sir.
It's nice to know there's still someone left in the building. Been sitting here, phone's out of order, secretary's disappeared. Hello! Hello! Girl hasn't been up with me hot milk and crackers. Hello! Oh, it's useless.
Mr. Barbican, we came up to talk about our bonus.
Your what?
The cut in the profits.
Oh, that? Yes, well, these things do happen, you know.
And we've discussed the matter, and all the men think that we should get the same as the girls. 7.5% each. Isn't that right, Adrian?
Absolutely, old boy.
Oh, do you? What do the girls think?
Well, as the men have so kindly volunteered to split it 50-50, we gratefully accept, Mr. Barbican.
Well, bless my soul. I think that's very generous of the girls.
Generous to accept a bonus?
Who said anything about a bonus? I'm talking about the salary cuts.
What?
Huh? What? We heard we were going to get a bonus. A cut in the profits. Mrs. Allardyce from the canteen said so.
Oh, yes. Nellie. She always gets everything wrong. Now, what we're passing on to you is a cut in the profits, not a cut of the profits.
Oh, thank you very much.
Not at all. It's a pleasure. The men were to have a 10% salary cut and the girls a 5% one. But if you want the same reduction, well, that'll be quite...
No, wait a minute.
7.5% each way. Thank you, Mr. Barbican. I knew you'd see our point of view. Well, Maggie, you wanted equality. Now you've got it.
But what am I going to say to the girls about the wage cut?
Tell them the equality of mercy is not strained. It cutteth both ways.
Through no fault of your own, you've just heard Something to Shout About. Michael Lightfoot was played by Michael Medwin, Maggie by Eleanor Summerfield, Janet by Fenella Fielding, Mavis by Joan Sims, Adrian by Nicholas Phipps, and Mr. Went and Mr. Barbican by Warren Mitchell. The Jingle Bells and the Bernie Fenton Quartet were under the direction of Cliff Adams. The script was written by Miles Rudge and Ronnie Wolfe, both of whom have been working to rule. The rule being, fill up the pages and get round to the pub. The programme was recorded and produced by Trafford Whitelock, who's rather behind in his union dues and is known as Blackleg Whitelock. Next week's episode will be a sequel to this one and is entitled Maggie Tufnell Strikes Again. ¶¶